This week on Tapestry, we're heading to Attica, New York, in Wyoming County, to meet local artist Brian Pfeiffer and visit something truly reflective, a sculpture he and the public created.
How cool would it be if we could put handprints on the, make the bark of the tree handprints? We had over 120 people show up that day. It was just amazing.
Then we saddle up for the Attica Rodeo. Rob Wright takes us behind the scenes of this decades-old tradition where generations come together for thrills, grit, and family fun.
We want you to come and be a cowboy for a day.
I can't hear you. Let's try that one more time. I think the world needs a few more cowboys. Let me hear you say, yeehaw!
Finally, meet the voices and faces of the arena, from the rodeo announcer and clown to the signature act that keeps crowds coming back year after year. That's coming up on Tapestry right after this.
Compact Science is your gateway to the science of everything in our region. Join host Sarah Jane Gomlick-Green and investigate the geology of Niagara Falls, discover the chemistry in sponge candy, and learn how density affects lake effect snow. Watch Compact Science on the Buffalo Toronto Public Media YouTube channel.
From in-depth reporting to musical masterpieces, dramas, and mysteries to local bands, Buffalo Toronto Public Media delivers it all. Stay informed, be inspired, and join us. This is Public Media.
Welcome to Tapestry. I'm your host, Lynn Bader. Today we are in Attica, New York. And in Memorial Park sits a tree that looks a little different from the rest. It doesn't sway in the breeze or grow new leaves in spring, but it does carry the fingerprints of more than 100 people who helped bring it to life. It's called the Reflection Tree, a 13-foot concrete sculpture created by local artist and longtime Attica resident, Brian Pfeiffer. Brian, thank you so much for taking a few moments with us today, right next to your beautiful tree.
Lynn, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to meet you.
How did you first come up with the idea for this project?
This park has grown so much in 20 years.
Hmm.
And the Attica Lions Club, unbelievable what they do to this park. They put this in. We have a splash pad. We have dog park. And I wanted to give something. I wanted to do something. I'd walk my dogs, and I'd come past this spot, and I'd be like, something's calling me here. Something's calling me here. And then one time I'm standing here with the dog, and it was like, you know what? I'm going to commit. So I brainstormed some things. Artists always have their brains filled with ideas. So, in a nutshell, I love trees. I think trees are just so important to everything. We need trees. Oxygen. Communities are built with wood. Everybody's connected with a tree. So, to me, tree is stability. And a community has to be stable to survive.
Okay.
So, tree.
Yeah.
Easy enough. I can do a tree. And then the top part, which is the prism or pyramid colors. I love color.
Okay.
So, and I've messed around with glass and concrete, stained glass. And a pyramid has four sides. Each side is different. Again, mm-hmm. like every part of the community. Put them together to come to a point. So that was the concept of the top. And then I need a community aspect of it. Now, when you grow up, you see handprints. My dad died when I was young, but before he died, we had put down a sidewalk, and we all put our handprints in there. You know, all my siblings are there, there's five of us, and I started remembering things. Mm. You just remember. You look at it, and you go, oh, and you think, how have I changed over all these years? So when I came up with this idea, I thought, how cool would it be if we could put handprints on the, make the bark of the tree handprints? Well, easy enough, and we can connect them, and that's how the concept came in. When I pitched the idea to the Chamber of Commerce,
mm-hmm.
the president at the time, Christopher Kelly, was my number one cheerleader right off the bat. So we put in for a small grant with New York State Council of the Arts
okay.
through Wyoming County Arts Council.
Mm-hmm.
So then I went to the village board, figuring it's their land. I should probably get their permission before I do anything. And again, Mayor Munford was just head over heels over the project. The board, there has been no resistance at all with this. So we had the Department of Public Works. They did the site work.
For nothing.
Nothing. They came and did that. You know, so that saved a lot of money. We had a local masonry company, Brad Veely Masonry, volunteer his time, energy, to pour the bottom pad. And then when it was wired up, we were going to put a light in it. But there was no funding for that, obviously. So somebody suggested, go to the Lions Club. they've done so much for this park as it was. I went to the Lions Club. I got an estimate. I went to their meeting. There was no hesitation. Anybody got a problem? No problem. Done.
Yes. So, all hands say aye.
Oh,
aye.
My gosh. That was the cherry on, you know, on the Sunday for me. And it had so much to it at night. I put a little sign out, but people would come by, walk their dogs, they would stop. And I think that was cool because people were, hey, Tree Man, what are we doing today? Hey, Tree Man, what's going on today? You know, they got to see the progression from nothing, from the hole being dug to all the way up to the top. So that's what another component where if I can stay on site, that's just so rewarding.
When you were thinking about what you wanted to call it, how did you come up with the name?
Well, like I'd mentioned before, you know, you saw those prints in the sidewalk and you remembered things. Mm-hmm. But to me, Remembrance Tree, I don't know, seems kind of sad to me. So I want it to be a reflection tree where people can look back and reflect on things. So when the community did put their handprints in it, they could come back and, yeah, they're going to remember it. But I want them to reflect on it because they're going to come back decades from now to see this thing. And they want to reflect. I think reflecting is sometimes more important than remembering.
That felt right, like the right word, because it fully encompasses what you're hoping people will feel when they come here. Now, how did you get the handprints on the piece of art?
So the process is a little involved. When I do sculpting like this, it's called build-up sculpting. So I have to make a armature with rebar, a skeleton. Mm-hmm. And we brought that over here, and then we did the pour, and we do a scratch coat. So the bottom third of that's solid, and then the top of it's probably about 5 inches of concrete around it, so with a scratch coat.
Okay.
And then what we did on that community day is I took a layer, and I put about an inch on the outside of it. So there's special admixes and stuff you put into it to make it stick better.
Okay.
And then one by one, we had people come up and put their handprint in it.
Can you describe the moment that the very first person put their handprint on the tree?
I sure can.
Okay.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
Oh.
So again, a lot of prep work that morning of, and when we're working with concrete, sun isn't our friend, unfortunately. Mm. So you have a small window of time before it starts to really cure and dry. So I got about 2 or 3 hours. Put the word out. We put in the paper, the flyers and social media and stuff like that. So you never know what you're going to get when you offer the community to come out. We're setting up, and this lady comes up to the tree waiting to put her handprint in. Her daughter brings her in. Come to find out afterwards, she's a lifelong resident. She's in her 90s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And she was the very first person to put her hand in the reflection tree that day. 90-something years old, lifelong resident. Fitting. For some reason, that was fitting to me.
Talk to me about why it was so special for you to work with the public in that moment.
When I apply the concrete, if you will, and we put their handprint in, I have to take my hand and push their hand in. Mm. So that was a little extra connection, I guess, I had to make with every person putting their handprint on, which at the time, again, was so busy, hot. I had people taking pictures. And at the end of the day, I was done. I was exhausted.
Sure.
And I met everybody. Didn't catch names. And they would talk to me. And, I got a job to do here.
Right.
And at the end of the day, I had these people send me all the photos. And I actually got a chance to sit down and go through them. And I could remember everybody. Don't remember their names, but I could see my hand pushing their hand in.
Wow.
And that was just so powerful as an artist, personally.
Yes.
I'm not going to say I got emotional because I have siblings and they'll make fun of me, but it was emotional.
You connected with those individuals.
Connected. I think that's a perfect word for it, which was an extra bonus. And I didn't realize that until the end of the day when I looked at all the pictures.
And you finally had a moment to breathe.
Yeah. And it was nice because we had the Boy Scouts here serving hot dogs. We had Vintage Farm here giving ice cream out.
What did you learn about the people of Attica through this project?
We had over 120 people show up that day.
Mm-hmm.
And they were lining up. It was just amazing to see multi-generational folks come up. The grandmother, the daughter, and a baby would come up. And put their hands right next to each other. And to me, that's what it's about, because they're going to come back and say, look, that's grandma's. That's my handprint, and that's great-grandma's handprint.
Yeah.
And this thing's going to be here for decades, way past our time. It's concrete. It ain't going nowhere.
What does it mean for you to have this piece of artwork permanently installed where you walk your dog?
it's great. I come around a corner and I'll see somebody, you know, kids playing by it. Somebody put a little stone there, to, you know, last week. They put it there for a reason. It means something to them. I don't know what.
Yeah.
But all my public art, when I see people crawling on it, and it's that's the most rewarding part for me. Everybody has a connection, a personal connection to this thing now. Mm-hmm. And decades from now, people can come to it. And it's truly a piece of public art because the public helped make it.
You do create artwork solo with no one around. And you created this piece where the whole community was involved. Talk to me about the difference.
Sure. Everybody's an artist. Everybody's an artist. At some point, we self-edit that. We all go to kindergarten. We all do finger painting. We're all artists. We all it's in us.
Mm.
And we self-edit. Be it somewhere along the line, we lose that, well, maybe I'm not an artist. So to give the public the opportunity to be a part of art is just something that it's my mission now.
I thank you for thinking of the concept, doing all of the work, reaching out to your community, and thankful to the community for receiving your idea, and glad that it's now here for generations to enjoy.
Well, thank you, Lynn. So am I.
The reflection tree now stands as a lasting symbol of unity in Attica. Next up, we head to the rodeo grounds to meet Rob Wright, chairman of the Attica Rodeo and Show Association, right after this snapshot of Attica history.
When the railroad reached Attica in the 1850s, it didn't just bring trains, it brought transformation. The town's core began shifting from Market Street, the old commercial hub, toward the new depot. Exchange Street grew, becoming the new center of trade and travel. And here's where history gets fascinating. Some buildings didn't just close shop on Market Street, they were literally moved. Horses, logs, and a lot of muscle rolled structures block by block, relocating them closer to the railroad's promise of prosperity. Then came the Great Fire of 1877, devastating much of Market Street's business district. The blaze accelerated change, clearing the path for new growth. Out of the ashes rose brick hotels and storefronts. Soon, landmarks like Wyoming House, Hotel Liberty, and the Williams Opera House became symbols of Attica's resilience. The railroad didn't just pass through Attica, it redefined it. A village once centered on canals and wagons transformed into a vibrant railroad town where buildings moved, streets realigned, and ambition blazed.
Welcome back to Tapestry. Today, we're stepping into the heart of a proud tradition, one that's been bucking, roping, and riding strong for more than six decades. The Attica Rodeo, now celebrating 67 years, brings the spirit of the American Rodeo to Western New York every summer.
Say hello if you don't mind. First of all, we met him earlier. Back again, here's Mr. Rob Wright.
This is where we meet Rob Wright, a lifelong horseman, seasoned pickup man, and the current chairman of the Attica Rodeo and Show Association. Rob, thank you so much for hanging out with us a little bit today.
You bet. Glad to be here.
Yes, we are here on a bit of a rainy day.
Just the morning, just to settle the dust.
Right.
It'll be clear and be a beautiful night for the show. Yep.
I got to ask you, what's a pickup man?
We're the stewards of the arena.
Oh.
We help the guys off the bucking horses.
Okay.
And we also keep the arena clear. If we have to rope a steer or a bull to get it out, that's what we do. And I've been picking up for close to 40 years now.
Talk to me a little bit about your history and your childhood. Do you remember growing up with rodeo and maybe when you rode your first horse?
Oh, I've always been on horses. I think I was on a horse before I was born. Dad used to train a lot of horses, raise horses, so I was on horseback all my life. I always said he should have been a vet. He knew more about horses than most vets do, I swear. But he and several of the guys in the town, they call them the boys with the white t-shirts, started this whole deal.
How do you balance tradition with making state-of-the-art improvements?
it's a hard balance at times. I mean, the arena used to be, you know, the first arena was like snow fence, and then it went to metal wire, and now it's safety panels, you know, and it's safety for the not only the guys in the arena, but those outside of the arena. Now we got some gorgeous bleachers. I can remember when it was, you know, you'd borrow bleachers from the youth program or the high school and put them on flatbeds, you know.
And that was your audience.
Yeah, it was your audience, you know. That's all you had.
Any particular and recent improvements that you're extra proud of?
Yeah, this year we did a lot of tiling around the arena, improved our stairway system to our bleachers, brand new arena, and we have all our own steel on the property now. For the entire setup. A couple years ago, we finally got to all LED lights, which really, really makes it nice. So when we have different specialty acts, we can do a black house and boom, right back to lights right away.
Oh, wow.
Where the old lights, you couldn't do that.
You have the Attica Rodeo, but you do a lot with this space as well, in addition to the rodeo.
Oh, yeah. It's active from the 1st of May to into October. Thursday nights are barrel racing nights. Mm-hmm. Friday nights are cattle penning and or sorting. And then once a month, we have a horse show here. Mm-hmm. And then in the fall, we'll have a New York State High School rodeo here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We donate the grounds to them for that.
And they come and compete.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a weekend deal for them.
What does a typical day look like for you, especially as you're gearing up to a weekend of rodeo?
We started with some of the major projects here the end of February, while snow was still on the ground doing some tile work and prepping for this new arena setup.
Yeah.
But then once July 1st hits, it's like all hands on deck. And this week, it's a whirlwind of a day from sunup to sundown.
You know, that makes me think about the experience for the visitor, right? So if I've never been to a rodeo before, talk to me about the atmosphere, the mood. What's it like?
We want you to come and be a cowboy for a day.
Ah.
It's a family entertainment.
I can't hear you. Let's try that one more time. If you think the world needs a few more cowboys, let me hear you say, yeehaw!
I mean, the competitors are here as a competitor to try to get to their finals. And they put up money to try to win money, but inevitably they are part of the entertainment that you're going to be watching.
Our rodeo chairman, Rob Wright, he's going to be presenting this buckle to our champion, ladies bronc rider, Darian Gustafson.
This rodeo has a huge tradition of volunteerism.
We could not do it without volunteers. We involve youth programs, 4-H programs. Part of them are cleanup crew, work food stand. We do give them donation. So it's kind of a trade. Mm. Gives them kids a chance to work for something for the benefit themselves, helps us a bunch.
So you have folks coming from all around the country to participate in this rodeo.
That is correct.
Okay. What do you think sets the Attica Rodeo apart from other rodeos in other parts of the country?
Part of it is this atmosphere. Mm. There's been other rodeos, places that have tried to duplicate what we have here and have not been able to do it. Mm. It is that flavor of the old school to the new school. I mean, you look around and there's a lot of participation with sponsorship. Every night's a band playing. Mm-hmm. Other places have tried it. The party fizzles right out. This one here, we have to shut it down. and kind of funny about history, that all started because this town used to have like several bars in town. With the Attica prison right up the street, a lot of them guards would go to the bars.
Okay.
Well, the cowboys would go to the bar after the rodeo.
Right.
Well, we were getting a lot of complaints from the cops in town years ago because the ruckus that was being...
You got a bunch of cowboys and a bunch of prison guards.
I'm not
going
to say there was fights, but a lot of ruckus. So we says, all right, we'll start a party down here and try to keep them at the grounds.
Oh,
and
interesting.
That's how it all became the bands and the party down here.
Mm.
I've got cowboys that'll roll in here, especially Saturday night. They'll leave from another rodeo and try to get here before the party's done because they know it's a party.
Talk to me about why the rodeo is so personal to you and to the people of Attica.
Well, like you said, it's tradition. You know, it's been here forever. It's life.
it's part of Attica life.
Yeah, it's part of Attica life. You know, everybody knows first weekend in August, this is where you go.
A rodeo isn't anything unless you've got people coming to compete. And you wanted to introduce me to a couple of folks. Tell me why.
These guys have traveled all over.
Okay.
One is our announcer who's been here several years.
Okay.
And he's been all over the country. The other is our specialty act for the year. He's been doing it a long time, been all over the country. And our clown this year is another gentleman that's been all over the country, and he's transitioned into clowning now. So they can give you a whole different flavor of what it's like comparing this rodeo to rodeos all over the country they go to.
Yeah. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today. I really appreciate it.
I'm glad you could do it.
And we're going to come be a cowboy for a day, okay?
There you go. I like it. All right. Like the sounds of that.
There's more Tapestry coming up. We'll be right back with Jerry Thornton, Mark Weber, and Jerry Todd right after this.
Explore the Underground Railroad's final stop. Learn about how the Latine workforce organized to overcome discrimination and follow the timeline of immigration in Western New York.
So remember, history surrounds you and includes you.
Watch Compact History on the Buffalo Toronto Public Media YouTube channel.
From your morning commute to quiet evenings at home, Buffalo Toronto Public Media is always there. With trusted news, inspiring stories, and timeless music, it's your connection to a world of wonder. This is Public Media.
Welcome back to Tapestry. I'm your host, Lynn Bader. To wrap up our visit to the Attica Rodeo, Rob introduced me to the men who bring the show to life, on horseback, behind the mic, and in the middle of the arena. We hear from Mark Weber, the rodeo clown whose cowboy journey took him all the way to Saudi Arabia. Jerry Thornton, a specialty act performer whose horse, Mr. Bojangles, has a story you won't believe. And we start the conversation with Jerry Todd, the longtime horseback riding announcer whose voice carries through the stands.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Jerry Todd. I'm from Sweet Home, Alabama, and I'll be your official sportscaster for the evening. On behalf of the Attica Rodeo and Show Association, we want to welcome you to their 67th edition of the Attica Championship Rodeo.
Great cowboy. Is this, I'm imagining, not the first time you've been to Western New York in the Attica Rodeo?
This is my, I was trying to figure the other night, came here, I think, for the 52nd one or the 51st. So I've been coming here quite a while.
You have announced all over the country.
I have.
What's special about the Attica Rodeo?
To start with, it's the tradition. There's been a lot of announcers before me that came here. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of committee people who have come before us. And in New York and in the eastern part of our country, this is one of the nicer rodeos to go to. I mean, it's five performances. Most of our communities, they have a little, you know, two-performance rodeo, and they go somewhere else. This is a rarity. It's kind of a dinosaur now, I reckon, to have five performances, you know. Mm-hmm. A lot of cowboys love to come here. If you're not from here, you don't know that when you're out there in other parts of the country, mm-hmm. people know about Attica, New York, and it's not because of the prison.
There
it's because of the rodeo.
It's because of the rodeo.
If you say, well, you know, I've been to Attica. Oh, yeah, I've been up there to that rodeo. You know, that's a cool town, you know. It's a cool place to go. They love Western New York.
So, Mark, you're the funny man. You're the comic relief.
Yes, ma'am. I try. I do my best.
Oh, my goodness.
Everybody put your hands together. The bearded wonder, the mustache king, here's Mark Weber.
Hello, New York.
His first time ever.
Well, time out, Jerry. Time out. Listen.
Okay, what is it?
You have been telling me the people here are just so much fun. You guys get after it. I want to hear hooping, hollering, stomping, and clapping, all right? We're not here to watch golf. We're here to watch America's sport of rodeo, all right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So what got you into the rodeo, and why do you love what you do?
Oh, man, I'll tell you what, I've been involved in rodeo all my life. I'm a first-generation cowboy, but my dad had horses as a child, and when I came around, we had horses to started riding, and got involved in junior rodeo and went through junior rodeo up through junior high school, college level.
And you said a little earlier you went to college on a rodeo scholarship.
Yes, ma'am. I did go to college on a rodeo scholarship.
Wow.
I competed, and was fortunate to be a state champion multiple times, national qualifier.
I read that you've been around the country.
Yes, ma'am.
Doing this work, but even Saudi Arabia?
Yes, ma'am. In 2019, I went with a group of 30 of us, from mostly Americans, a few from Brazil, mm-hmm. and a couple of cowboys from Mexico. We took American bull riding to the Middle East for the first time ever in history.
Wow.
Yes, ma'am. We flew 57 head of bucking bulls overseas into Saudi Arabia.
What was their response, their reaction?
It was crazy because the cowboy was a folklore fairy tale, kind of.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like you think about the Vikings back in the day. Or
yeah.
So we were, to us, this is just life. You know, we're cowboys every day. And the people would just come up to us. And they didn't speak English, but they knew the word selfie. It was a great experience.
So Jerry Thornton.
Yes.
Saved you for last. You have a specialty show.
That's correct.
Talk to me about what's involved in your show, okay. your horse,
okay.
and the story behind that.
I've been doing performing horses for years and years. With this show here, I have Mr. Bojangles. Mr. Bojangles is a rescue horse.
What's his story?
He was in the Hurricane Katrina. He was out in the water, tied with barbed wire around his legs. He was just a yearling. He was a fright to see, you know. No hair on his back. The chickens and rats had lived on his back to survive themselves, and it was horrible. And I said, what does it take to get this animal? And they said, anything you'll give us. So I reached in my shirt pocket, and I had three 20s. So I gave the lady $60, and I've trained a lot of horses to do different things. But this horse was so attentive to me.
Into the arena, from the land of troubled waters, Mr. Bojangles! And Jerry Thornton, the man from Holiday, Tennessee.
My wife says, I can't keep doing this. And I said, as long as he does, I'm going to. But I've got other horses that perform too, but not like this.
Yeah.
I have expensive horses that perform, but not like this $60 horse.
Yeah.
It's just it's a joke, you know.
But it's the truth. Like, it's a real story. You couldn't write it better, could you?
No.
Divine intervention.
It's divine intervention.
Yeah.
Well, I want to welcome you back to Western New York and welcome both of you to Western New York.
Everybody needs a little entertainment every now and again.
Right.
And I think that's a lot of it, you know. That's what we try to do. We want to entertain the people. But we also, you know, we want to create rodeo fans. So. And that's our job.
Help me. We got cowboys and cowgirls sitting out back. They're ready to work for you. So on the count of three, let's let them have it from Attica, New York one time. Are you ready? One, two, three.
That's a wrap for this episode of Tapestry. I'm so glad you came along for the ride. There's always something new to uncover here in Western New York, and I can't wait to explore more together. And if you've missed an episode, no worries. You can catch up on the full series at btpm.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Tapestry is a production of Buffalo Toronto Public Media. I'm your host, Lynn Bader. Thank you for listening.